All right, well then, who's next on the chopping block?
Next up on the chopping block, we've got Brian Gray with Gestalt.
Welcome. There's so much work to do. 9 months. We've been waiting here for you. Surprise! Here's some debt to go into. Save us from the decades that we span. No time like now to understand the parts. The sum is greater than the day you wake up to this whole gestalt. You'd never ask for this. It's a tragic end, of course, it's no one's fault, except of course it is. The world we knew is coming to a halt. Lie back and reminisce.
Brian goes acoustic with this number, opting for instruments that can easily be carried by humans fleeing the Gleeble apocalypse, according to the liner notes. So when I first heard this song, I was like, oh, great. We finally get a break from the Gleeble verse. But nope. After I read the liner notes, I'm like, oh, okay. This is actually a Gleeble verse song. So apparently the humans are dealing with climate catastrophe based on the Gleeble aliens terraforming the planet to make it more to their liking.
With arsenic in the soil.
Yeah.
Which is good for them somehow.
Which is, yeah, I guess they like that. But, you know, that doesn't really matter because the song sounds great on its own and the lyrics work on a bunch of different levels. And, you know, even though this does sound a little bit like Sheryl Crow, I think it's great. It's, to me, it sounds more like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, I think, than Sheryl Crow.
And Crow.
And Sheryl Crow, yeah. And, you know, I really like the acoustic vibe of the song. I think Brian's harmonies are just really sweet and really nice. And I just love, love, love them. I think the congas and the tambo and the harmonica, they blend up really nicely with the vocals. And they form this sort of lovely, laid-back vibe that's just super easy on the ears. Yeah, I like this song a lot. I'm like, oh, got a winner. This is definitely the winner.
Yeah, I am with you. I actually wasn't sure this was part of the Gleeble verse at first. I thought that it works really well as its own song, separate. It's also got kind of a separate tonal vibe, which he explains in the bio about it just being, you know, hand instruments that you could carry with you as, say, human refugees hiding in a cave, which I thought was really effective. It really, really brought out to me this feeling of, you know, folk rock, Simon and Garfunkel kind of feeling, which I really liked. I loved the choir vocals that he does, especially when they first come in on Surprise.
Surprise!
And how they kind of build in more and more throughout the song. It just,
it's
that
really good.
Is my aesthetic. I love it! I love these close vocal harmonies. Really, really well done.
Is that thirds and sixths when you say close vocal harmonies?
Fun fact, a third and a sixth is an inverted interval. So they could, in theory, be the same notes, but the third would be the close vocal harmony, whereas the sixth is more open.
Mm.
So I would put close vocal harmonies if you've got like a nice crunchy major second or a third and a fourth, and maybe a fifth if you've got like the first, the third, and the fifth of the chord all being sung at once. I would call that a close vocal harmony because it's all really close together. As opposed to if, I kind of feel like if you get into sixth octave, something more than an octave, that's when it gets more spread out and has a different orchestrational reason for doing that. But my ear, based on like the music that I grew up in, I just love close vocal harmonies.
Yeah, I really leapt right out of the speakers for me. I was like, oh, this is gorgeous. Brian's voice sounds so good here.
Yeah, absolutely. And then going over to his lyrics for this song, I really, really like the line, of course it's no one's fault, except of course it is. Like, that is just such a perfect way to put the whole climate crisis or the whole Gleeble crisis.
Yeah. One and the same.
Right, exactly. It's the same crisis. Interestingly, you know, for the most part, I thought that his lyrics were really well done, really well put together. I wasn't a big fan of the Born Yesterday lyric. I think it was just a little bit clunky compared to the rest of the whole thing. not to nitpick here, but I feel like it would have been better if it was not like you're born just yesterday. I feel like that would have worked better with the declamation. But again, I didn't write this song. You did. So you can ignore me. You being Brian Gray in this instance. And I just had a couple of other thoughts. What were they? Interesting choice of reverb on the vocal. Sounds a little bit like he's singing in a bathroom. Or maybe an underground chamber. So maybe that was on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Like one of those caves they're hiding in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The folky feeling of the song is really accentuated by the two chord challenge. You know, that very simple back and forth. I thought it worked really well. This is definitely one of those 1-4 songs. Because even though the verse, its home is G and it sort of visits C in the Boom Chicks. And yeah. The chorus, the home is C and it visits G in the Boom Chicks. I definitely think that G is the home. It's the tonic here, partially because it starts and ends on G. And also because a lot of times with choruses, you know, that's kind of like the development. We're going and visiting something else, tonicize the dominant, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. You stole a lot of my notes. actually, I mean, before this podcast started, like I mentioned before, Chumpy and I are in the same room for the first time ever recording a podcast. We got the whole thing set up. I was kind of showing to him, harkened back to a song that we listened to several years ago called the Walkin' Talkin' Johnny Cash Blues, which has a boom chick that also follows the 12-bar blues, but it's a boom chick at each station. But here I just kind of like cut all of this. This is crap. But I showed how it like it does the boom chick and it goes between the G as the bass, and then it hits the C and then goes directly back to the G, and then when you hit the C as the chorus, then that also, you know, it just works really well because it's such a completely different feel to it. Anyway, this is another one that I actually just picked up my guitar and could play along with really easily, and it sounded just fine.
Yeah.
I don't think the song really stretches the way that Daniel Sittler's does, but, you know, it doesn't matter since this one has so much appeal. He does this great thing where, you know, both chords are built into every measure of the verses, and that gives the chorus a good sort of different feel when he leans on that second chord, as, you know, described before. I'm concerned now, though, about how this is still in the Gleeble verse, and I'm kind of wondering, is he doing this because he's excited about the Gleeble verse? Or is he doing it because he thinks everyone is expecting him to continue writing in the Gleeble verse at this point? You know, I don't know, but I feel like the judges should have given him explicit permission to write outside of this theme, whether he wants or needs that position or not, that permission or not. I think he doesn't need that permission, because I know in previous Spin Tunes, we've accused him of ham-handedly sort of wedging this contrived sort of area for a song to take place in, this sort of contrived scenario. So I think that he can or can't, you know, insert it in the Gleeble verse at his will, and he's perfectly fine doing any of that. But still, I kind of wonder if he would maybe be submitting different songs if he didn't feel tied to the Gleeble verse.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about that is the first Spin Tunes I ever did was, I think, the first Gleeble verse song, the For the Glory of Gleeble Glorp, which again, great song.
Absolutely. Yes.
But yeah, so I've only ever heard him do Gleeble verse songs. I would love to hear what he did before Gleeble Glorp. I don't know what he did before Gleeble
Glorp.
Wow. A lot of glow hop rock.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This is crap glow hop rock. Well, no, I mean, I would highly recommend you. I mean, just off the top of my head, my Raptor Descartes and I, which is about a Velociraptor. Velociraptor?
Velociraptor.
Velociraptor, that's it. It's from the meme one. That was excellent. There's also the Amity Island Land Park and All You Can Eat Buffet, which is about Jaws. from the point of view of the
their
sharks.
Whole family is obsessed with Jaws.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you saw that. Yeah.
I did see that.
But he oh gosh, and then what else? There's a song to save, what was it? I think South Bend, which is so mean. But anyhow, he's written so many songs, and so many of them are so good. I'd highly recommend you to check out sort of his back catalog, because there's some real diamonds in there. But anyway, okay, so but about the Gleeblverse, I think that staying within the Gleeblverse obviously hasn't limited him in any way, though. And in his bio, of course, you know, as you mentioned, he more or less explicitly stated a corollary with the song in real life, in particular with climate change. And just like you mentioned, I love that lyric. It's tragic, and of course it's no one's fault, except of course it is. I feel like that applies to many of the world's ills, where the common wisdom suggests that any number of tragedies couldn't be helped and couldn't be prevented, when in reality we just don't want to acknowledge reality and point to ourselves that way. And by ourselves, I mean humanity or consumers or voters or employees or whatever. For the longest time, every time that there was a mass shooting, The Onion would run the same article.
No way to prevent this, says only nation where this keeps happening right. regularly.
Yeah. Yep. And that has been posted, like, I want to say hundreds of times. But yeah. Also, though, okay, now my turn to nitpick. I think that the Gestalt reference is not particularly apt, except maybe as a reference to that line in the verse. And it sounded great, but it might have also not been so literally perfectly apt. Several years ago, we were challenged to write double dactyls, and one of the six-syllable words that we had to use was the word characteristically, which was a real gimme, because characteristically means that something is behaving the way that it behaves, which is too easy because that can apply to anything. And in this song, I think Gestalt is meant to encompass sort of the whole setting. And if you're using it that way, then you can use the word Gestalt for pretty much anything. So why bother? My smartphone is more than the sum of its parts. You know, my houseplant is more than the sum of its parts. And yeah, okay, my dystopia is more than the sum of its parts too. But that's me being too pedantic. I do wonder if the title is also a jab at the limitations of the challenge, like a suggestion that despite being just two chords, the song is more than that. And I definitely have to agree. The vocal harmony is obviously wonderful. The vocal melody is catchy and appealing throughout the song, and the performance is wonderfully expressive. And I'm glad that I have no tuning artifacts to complain about. I thought the stripped down production works well, too.
Okay. Yeah.